How do we turn our faces away from the camera and instead become the camera ourselves? Can we watch, wait, and wonder patiently and train ourselves to reframe and refocus on the beauty in others rather than worrying about our own?
This is Rise and Shine, a podcast that offers timeless wisdom and uplifting meditations to fill your heart, feed your soul, and start your day on a positive note. Here is Adrienne Gold Davis.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word of the year in 2013 was selfie. They recorded a 17,000% increase in its usage, and by now, I suspect we could multiply that over and over and over. Now we have things like selfie sticks to extend our reach, both literally and figuratively, and apps that help improve the quality of our selfie. There's even been a spike in cosmetic surgery as women bemoan the selfie nose. This is a new phenomenon, high on the list for personal cosmetic correction. Yes, you heard me right. That's a special nose job so that your nose does not look huge in your selfie. So, contour and powder aside, there's a certain angle when you shoot yourself that does make the nose more prominent a feature. And of course, that will never do. I think it was the year 1599 that Shakespeare wrote his epic play, As You Like It, where he coined that famous expression, all the world's a stage. Little did Shakespeare know that he ain't seen nothing yet, that the human desire to etch into rocks or paint their own portraits for eternity would be exaggerated by more than 17,000% just a couple of hundred years later. And that if he was right back then, he is even more right today. In Greek mythology, we learn about Narcissus, that boy who fell in love with his own image as it was reflected back to him in a pool of water. He tumbled and fell into the pool and drowned, and a flower, the Narcissus, grew in its place. And today, his name is lent to the psychological term narcissism. In 1923, the writer Martin Buber wrote that our narcissism often leads us to relate to others as objects instead of as equals. But what of the impact of self-absorption on our very selves? Do we see ourselves as objects now? And what of the cost to our own psyches if we see ourselves primarily as objects? Certainly, we lose our compassion for others as we lose our compassion for our own identities. Are we turning ourselves into commodities, into containers that are spiritually void? Or are we merely the modern-day version of the caveman, longing to depict ourselves and our image in the most modern way we know how? Whatever sociologists decide when looking back on our selfie era, this remains to be seen. But Jewish wisdom speaks to the dangers of self-absorption and gives us many safeguards against treading that line between benign personality trait and pathological narcissism. And it begins the moment we open our eyes. We Jews have a blessing that we're meant to say every morning the moment we open our eyes, and it goes like this. Modeh ani lefanecha, melech chai vekayam, shehechazarta bi nishmati bechemla rabba emunatecha. Or in English, I offer thanks to you, living and eternal King, for you have mercifully restored my soul within me. Your faithfulness is great. There is something deeply telling in the original Hebrew this prayer is written in, which is unfortunately lost in the translation. And that is that Mode Ani actually would translate to thanks I, rather than I give thanks. Rabbi Benjamin Blech explained what his father told him, that the message in this prayer is found in the medium. He says, when we open our eyes in the morning, the very first word on our lips should not be I, and that gratitude must supersede the ego. There's an interesting irony to be found in these thoughts as well, and that is that people who have high self-esteem are often very humble, whereas narcissists rarely are. So we know that self-esteem is not antithetical to humility, and this is the real tightrope that our culture is walking. People are barraged with messages to feel good about themselves, to celebrate oneself. In primary grades, rarely does any race have a winner. We're all winners just for entering the race. Like an Academy Awards speech, we're all happy just to be nominated. And yet, winning and losing are real and ever-present conditions of being human, and they are states of being that we must learn to navigate with grace. Self-esteem allows us to not see our value as the outcome of something, but rather by who we are in the face of what is in front of us. Self-esteem in children doesn't grow when we do their homework for them, or rescue them, or never let them learn the most famous of Torah quotes, that the righteous person falls 7 times and gets up, that righteousness comes in the falling and the getting up, that our losses can be birthplaces of our gains. When we gaze at ourselves as objects, we lose sight of the eternal part of ourselves and we focus on the externals of being human. But that isn't the sweet spot. It's not the locus center of pleasure. Pleasure is found when we embrace each experience as a spiritual resistance training in order to refine our characters. And just as muscle will not grow if it's lifting a weight too light for itself for too long, so the human character stagnates without challenges and tests and counterweights to bear. As we overfocus on our stage self, we become more and more like the Beatles' famous character, Eleanor Rigby, who kept her face in a jar by the door. We keep our faces perfect, but we neglect our souls. My friend and colleague, Rena Deutsch, eloquently stated, "May our foundation be perfect, but may our values be our foundation." How do we turn our faces away from the camera and instead become the camera ourselves? Can we watch, wait, and wonder patiently and train ourselves to reframe and refocus on the beauty in others rather than worrying about our own? When my kids were very small, they looked at me with such reverence and adoration. This week, can we stop with the selfies and start pointing the lens away from ourselves? And to have a good eye for others, can we capture our fellow in their perfect moment of grace? I believe that if we do, we will begin to reverse the trend towards the growing narcissism of our culture and transform it instead into one of compassion. And it brings an entirely new meaning to the expression, an eye for an eye. Let's stop inverting our gazes and look more closely at the other. I bet that you're going to see reflected back at you the most beautiful image of yourself that you could ever imagine. Because this is one of the gifts inherent in the first commandment. I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. When we exchange the personal I for the I of the grand conductor of the universe, we take the first step into true humility. And that is a selfie you want to look at.
Thanks for listening to Rise and Shine. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to Momentum Podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Join Adrian again next time for more timeless wisdom and uplifting meditations that fill your heart, feed your soul, and start your day on a positive note.
You're listening to a Momentum Podcast. For unlimited inspiration, wisdom, and empowerment, visit MomentumUnlimited.org.